The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I'm in Arizona. That's all I know. It's 3 hours different in terms of time zone. So I'm really confused. I'm not really sure what day it is. All I know, Alvin, I know this much. Yesterday was the launch day of my new book.
Yes.
Is Atheism Dead?
Yep.
And it went to 138 on Amazon.
Yep.
And before I say anything else, I want to say thank you to everybody who pre-ordered it, because it just makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've had any problems, feel free to email us. We don't want anyone to be upset that you didn't get this, you didn't get that. Just email us. I want to say today we're going to be airing my conversation with Steve Collins. Now, the reason I wrote the book, there are two people that really ultimately were the ones that made me write this book. Stephen Collins is the man who discovered biblical Sodom. I won't say any more about that, except that I got to know him, and he's going to tell his story in the next hour. When we're done with this segment, we will play his story. It is just astonishing. One of the reasons I wrote the book is because people need to know that this happened, that this was discovered. It is stunning corroboration of the historical value of the Bible from the very first pages of the Bible. So it's insane. In hour two, we're going to play my conversation with James Tour. Have we played that before?
Yes, this is an encore.
Okay. But James Tour is the other guy that I wrote this book because of James Tour. I met James Tour and he started telling me about what's called abiogenesis and how science has no idea how life came into being on planet Earth 4 billion years ago. They say it did, they know it did, but they don't know how. And the more they learn, the less they know how. It's just one of the stories that I think when the history books are written, we're going to look back at this time. It's a paradigm shift. So I hope my book helps shift the paradigm away from the idea that science and faith are at odds, and that rather it is science that leads us to faith, and also that it is Christian faith, and I write about this in the book, Christian faith gave us modern science. Think of the irony. We live in a world that everybody thinks like, well, science and faith are somehow at odds. Complete nonsense. It's an atheist myth. It's a lie. So I deal with that in the book. Now,
Eric, just real quick, one thing you don't cover in the book is life from non-life. With Mary Shelley discovered that in her book Frankenstein.
In Frankenstein, yes. That's right. I do mention Frankenstein in my book, but we won't go into that. It's too confusing. Okay, so here's the thing. Yesterday was the launch day. It was very successful. Charlie Kirk, what a dear soul. He let me guest host his whole radio program, 3-hour radio program. I had John Zmirak come on. I had Larry Taunton come on the program. It was just really fun talking to his audience because a lot of them don't know me. And then after that, there was an event in the evening, a Freedom Square event at a church here in the Phoenix area. It's called, what is it called? The Dreamland Church or something. It's one of the biggest churches I've ever seen. It was amazing. Charlie and I were up on the stage. The reason I'm telling you this is because it was one of the most fun events I've ever done. And Facebook today banned me from sharing anything.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're knocked off of YouTube. But today I learned that Facebook won't let me share this video from what happened last night, because it's posted on Charlie Kirk's page on Facebook. So you've got to go. I'm pretty sure if you do the biblical exegesis that Facebook is the whore of Babylon in Revelation. I'm trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you can watch the event last night that I did with Charlie Kirk, it really was amazing. There was like 2,000 people. The questions, three kids came up and asked questions. They were like 9, 10, and 11 years old. I mean, there was adults also, but the kids' questions were amazing. And our answers were, I think, important. So a lot is going on today. Charlie Kirk is having me as a guest on his show, and I'm doing all these other shows. Matt Lewis. Tomorrow morning, I'm doing Ben Shapiro's show. I've never been on Ben's show before. So a lot is going on. But here's my ask to you folks out there. It's very important to share these things on social media. I know I've said it before. Please do forgive me. I don't want to sound self-serving, but I feel the information in this book is important, and I want to get it out to as broad an audience as possible, meaning to a secular audience, to people that are simply not familiar with some of this stuff. So if it's possible for you to share any of the stuff that I post on social media, I'm on Gab, Parler, Getter, Instagram, Facebook, until I was banned today, and of course, Twitter. We're on Rumble. If you can share any of this stuff, or if you have anything nice to say about the book on any of those platforms, today would be the day to do it. It's kind of like you've got to ride the wave because the first week is always the most important. All of the pre-sales are added up to the first week sale. So it's the only chance you really have of making the big bestseller lists. And if you do make any of those big bestseller lists, the book can kind of reach audiences that it will never reach, which is the goal. You know, I want the information in this book to get out to people who, you know, they're agnostics. They don't know what they believe. And I just, you know, so I feel like I'm on a mission, but I want to ask you to join me in that mission. And if you're on any kind of social media today, post a link to the book or to my website or anything you want to do. Please share, yes. Retweet or share any of the stuff that I put out on social media. It would mean a lot to me. You'd be doing me a favor, but I think you're doing the cause of truth a favor. I don't mean it simply to sell books. I feel like this is a moment and that writing this book enables us to get some crucial information out, not just to people who are on the same page as I might be, but people who are on a totally different page.
Yeah, and addressing that as a Christian, man, I just love the facts that you put in here, and they just blow your mind. And you say, why as a Christian am I a little tepid about sharing my faith or the facts? They're all here. They blow atheism
that's
away.
Exactly. That's exactly what when I was writing the book, I thought to myself, this is so nuts. How did I not know this? And why am I timid sometimes? I mean, the facts are at this point, let's put it this way, they're overwhelming. And we need to know that. We need to know those facts. I should say that I'm doing tons of media. I'm going tomorrow to Colorado Springs. There's a special Jim Dobson event. It's a private event at the Broadmoor. And then after that, Suzanne and I are flying to San Diego because I'm speaking in a ton of churches in the San Diego area. And then in Thousand Oaks, Rob McCoy's church. And if you're in that area, go to my website and you can see all the details of where I'm speaking. But it's just great to meet with people and to sign books afterward. I will stay as long as people will allow me. And it's just fun to connect with people. I have to say last night after this event was just
and this is the time to sign up for your newsletter at ericmetaxas.com. Then you'll find out everything, right?
Actually, it's a comedy now how many times I have to say this. But ladies and gentlemen, please, please. Go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. You get all these interviews. You won't have to go hunting for them. And I promise you, we're going to share all the good stuff I'm talking about now will go out in the newsletter. But I do want to say again, we need you to share this stuff on social media. Please do that today. It is very important to get it out there right out of the gate. So anything you can share on social media, I would just be thrilled if you would do that. And if you tag me, then I can retweet it or whatever on Gab or what, you know, just you want to do those things. Alvin,
Yes.
We're going to be talking to Stephen Collins. He's a hotshot. He's brilliant. Yes. We're talking to James Tour. He's the other brilliant hotshot.
Yeah.
They make the case better than I ever do. But we should say that we're still doing a fundraiser for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Folks, if you want to support religious liberty, and I hope you do, please go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Not EricMetaxas.com. That's my website. That's where you sign up for the newsletter. That's where you order books at cheap prices. We'll be right back with that guy named, what's his name? Oh, yeah, Dr. Stephen Collins. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I sound excited, it's because I'm very excited. I get to talk to somebody named Dr. Stephen Collins. Now, if you listen to this program, the name will ring a bell. Because I've talked many times about an astonishing biblical discovery. Astonishing! And Dr. Stephen Collins is the one who made it. I write about it in my book, Is Atheism Dead? Because when I heard about this, I said, this is so crazy. Everybody needs to know about this. I'm going to devote a chapter in my book to this so that if you only read my book, you'll get this. People need to know. This is real. And I thought, what if I could get Dr. Collins on again? And here he is, Dr. Stephen Collins. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Eric. Great to see you.
Listen, we're living in exciting times, but even more exciting. I mean, everywhere I go, when I talk about my book, Is Atheism Dead?, I talk about you and this discovery. Because one of the reasons I wrote the book was because of you. I'm not kidding. I remember meeting you through through Skip Heitzig, who's a friend, obviously, in Albuquerque. And I thought, this is crazy. I've never heard this before. This is one of the greatest finds in archaeological history. You wrote a wonderful book about it. When did that book come out?
Came out in 2013.
Okay, so it's been out, and people still don't seem, I don't know what people are focused on, but this is gigantic. And then the other day, Nature, which is one of the premier scientific journals on the planet, published an extremely lengthy, extremely detailed, extremely academic analysis paper put together by 21 scientists looking at this from every conceivable angle in the scientific world. How can you analyze this? I was talking to my wife about this yesterday, Dr. Collins. I said, you know, it's a funny thing because you're just the archaeologist. You find this stuff and then you have to turn over your findings to every kind of scientist, many hostile to the fundamental idea. Evidently, they seem to think what you and I seem to think, which is maybe the biggest headline of all.
Yeah, early in the dig, when we started discovering all this kind of anomalous melted material, stuff that looks like it had been exposed to a rather high heat index, what do I do with that? I'm an archaeologist. I know how to dig dirt. I know how to recognize strata. I'm an expert on ancient pottery, all of that stuff that goes with archaeology. But I'm not a physicist. I'm not an astrophysicist. I'm not a chemist or a geologist. So all of that stuff had to be turned over to scientists who know what they're doing with that sort of thing. And it actually wound up in the hands of a team of scientists called the Comet Research Group, CRG, they're well published in all kinds of scientific journals, including the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and now, of course, Nature Scientific Reports on this particular paper that they wrote. But they've been involved 6 or 7 years in this analytical phase of the destruction layer for the Middle Bronze Age at Tal el-Hammam, which associates with the time of Abraham. And this particular layer had all kinds of indicators, like they call them proxies, of what's called a meteoritic or a cosmic bolide airburst event that exploded over not just the side of Tal el-Hammam, but exploded over the entire plain of the Jordan, where the cities of the plain, the cities of the Kikar in Genesis, are located. And it absolutely took civilization offline in that area for about 7 centuries. They've investigated it, and now they've published it.
Let me say what I say when I speak about this. You know, I have to just give the super quick version so people are kind of tracking. And so what we're talking about is you in 1996 for the first time said, wait a minute. According to what the scripture says, because you believe that the scripture is an accurate guide, you say, according to what it says, if this place is discoverable today, it is up in this area north of the Dead Sea on what you call the Kikar Plain. Nobody's looking there. You decide to look there. You discover a gigantic tall, it's called, right? What is a tall? How do you describe that to a lay audience?
Yeah, a tell or a tall tell, is yeah. Yeah, is a it's a ruin mound, and it builds up like a layer cake as one civilization comes along. One city is built, it's destroyed, and then another one comes along and another building over and over and over, and these things rise up to quite a height. And Near Eastern cities are like this. They're multiple civilization layers that create these gigantic ruin mounds, and Tal el-Hammam is a huge one of these.
Yeah, and what's the kind of creepiest thing to me is because we certainly don't have this in America, but we don't have this in most of the world. When you can say there was a huge city there for thousands of years before Abraham in 1700 BC, we can't conceive of a city, you know, 3000 BC, a flourishing city. So by the time Abraham gets there, it's basically been there for thousands of years. I mean, that's very tough for us to conceive of, a city that far back.
Yeah. And of course, the Bible indicates that as well, because if you go back from Abraham's time, back to Genesis chapter 10, what you get is a very good description of the building of the great fortified cities of the ancient Near East, and amongst them are the cities of the plain, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboiim, and they're all there in Genesis 10. So, and Genesis 10 is really reflective of what we call in archaeology the early Bronze Age, back in the 4th millennium B.C.
The 4th millennium B.C. I just love this. Okay, so what the Bible seems to say is that about 1700 B.C., Abraham's passing through there. Most of us know the story. The place was destroyed. It was a cataclysmic destruction. We're not talking about, oh, a big earthquake. We're talking about something unprecedented. We can't conceive of what happened, which is one of the reasons why many people relegate it to myth. They say, you know what? This stuff just doesn't ever happen. We know it doesn't happen. Come on, it's a hyperbole. Let's face it. So you're telling me, or at least you say in the book, and I reiterate it wherever I go, that you find this place, you think this is it, you start excavating. When you get down to the level of 1700 BC, you find what?
What we find is a massive destruction layer, a city. By the way, this city we now know is the largest continuously occupied Bronze Age city in the whole southern Levant. That would be like Israel, Jordan. And so it's a massive city. It has temples, it has palaces, it has administrative and domestic areas. It has a gigantic city wall that's about 5 yards thick. It's a huge city. Now, what happened in this event was that the mud brick superstructures standing on the stone foundations were literally in the lower city, literally blown off their foundations, literally. Now, how do you blow a wall off of its foundation that is made of mud brick that is 15 feet thick? How do you do that?
15 feet thick. Now, I read about this, and I thought to myself, I did some research, obviously, in writing what I wrote, and I thought the most powerful hurricanes in the world have winds approaching 200 miles an hour. It seems that, according to the article in Nature that was published very recently, they said there were winds like 700 miles per hour. I just said, what can you – you can't even imagine such a thing, basically. But you're talking something so powerful, this is the equivalent of over 1,000 Hiroshima bombs. 1,000. You think of what Hiroshima did. That's what science reveals, according to you and according to the article in Nature. This is – we're talking about science. Even if you don't believe in the Bible, this is what scientists have recently discovered.
Yeah, let me speak to that. We're not talking about hurricane force winds here. We're talking about winds that have a force that would literally flatten any modern city that we know today. And the ancient one that we're talking about, this Tal Hamam, which I believe is the site of biblical Sodom, what happened at the site was this. It wasn't just the wind. The wind is really the aftermath of the event. What we're talking about is a concussive a blast front, a concussive force due to the explosion of this meteoritic object that created. And when I saw this figure from the scientist that did the report, it kind of blew me away. That blast front created a pressure wave that was 750,000 pounds per square inch. Now just kind of process that in your head.
There's no way.
750,000 pounds per square inch. How do you move a 15-foot thick mud brick wall off its foundation? There you go.
I mean, we have to go to a break here, folks. This is real. I devote a chapter to all of this in my book, Is Atheism Dead? It's about time the world knew the Bible is real. We'll be right back.
They whirl you across the floor, but they always seem to fade away when your daddy taps on your door. Angie girl, are you all right? Tell the radio good night. All alone once more, Angie baby.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Dr. Stephen Collins, the man who discovered biblical Sodom. We're not making this up. We've got the facts. Nature just published an astonishingly long, detailed scientific analysis that basically corroborates everything that you, Dr. Collins, have been saying. Now, when you go down to 1700 BC, you find what you call the destruction matrix. It's soot, isn't it? I mean, it's basically soot. When you found that, you must have said, hey, this is a coincidence. This is kind of nice that right where we would expect to find something, we found it. I mean, do you remember that day?
Yeah, it's 3 to 6 feet thick. Can you imagine? Most destruction layers at archaeological sites are, you know, maybe a few centimeters thick, maybe a half a meter thick. This is a meter and a half thick. We're talking about 5 feet. Now, what's in that matrix? What's in the destruction? And by the way, the matrix is what, after the event, all of this churned up, disintegrated debris that was created by this massive explosion settled out between the remaining wall stubs. Remember, we're talking about walls that are
actually we have to go back because you just said something earlier and you just said it again. And I don't want to forget. So the conclusion of all of these scientists, and you already knew it a while ago when I first met you, they look at all of the information and they say there's only one thing that could have done this. This is what the scientists say, folks. These are secular scientists. They say that an airburst event, a cosmic airburst event, that's fancy science talk for an asteroid traveling at something like 35,000 miles per hour, maybe 180 feet in diameter, comes through the atmosphere, burns up, and explodes a few miles over this site. Now, the reason they can be so specific is because in 1908, the exact same thing happened in Siberia. Talk about that, Dr. Collins, so that people understand this did happen once before within modern memory.
The Tunguska, Siberia 1908 event flattened about 2,500 square kilometers of Siberian forest in an instant. The sides of the trees, just one side of the trees, were blackened and burned and laid out radially from the point of impact. And the other sides of the trees were pretty much untouched. So the heat is really intense. We're talking about tens of thousands of degrees, but just for a fraction of a second, but powerful enough to lay this entire area of Siberia flat.
80 million trees. That's the figure.
Yeah,
so, folks, think about this.
Yeah.
Within a couple of seconds, 80 million trees in a remote forest in Siberia are flattened outward because of this explosion. 80 million trees. And according to the folks who wrote, all these scientists, they said what happened at Tel Haman was that big or bigger.
Was that bigger? Bigger. Probably bigger. What kind of temperatures are we getting at Tal Hamam? Well, you know, we have melted surfaces of pottery. Some of them are actually boiled up with bubbles. We have melted mud bricks. We have all of these things. But now, that's not enough. You have to analyze into the melt glass. You have to analyze what the temperatures were. Let me give you just one example. And they found dozens of these. Zircons melt at about 2,500 degrees centigrade. They boil as you approach 3,000 degrees centigrade. In the melted surfaces of the pottery, we're finding and other objects as well, where they found boiled zircons.
What is a zircon?
A zircon is a little mineral. Like a crystal, like a quartz crystal, something like that. It's a little bit different chemical signature. But a zircon is a really hard mineral, and its melting point is higher than what you can generate with technology or even natural forces like volcanism. Magma is way cooler, much less hot than
a boiled
zircon.
So what temperature would it take to boil zircon, to boil this mineral?
Almost 3,000 degrees centigrade. We're talking about 4 to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
4 to 5,000 degrees.
Those temperatures cannot be generated terrestrially on the Earth. Not. The only thing, and that's why we say there are at least 26 proxies that have been discovered so far at Tal Hamam that indicate temperatures well beyond, double, triple what any temperature on the Earth can be from natural processes terrestrially. So the only thing you have to ask the question, what kind of event can destroy a city, can create a destruction matrix, and we call it the Cuisinart effect. We call it that because it looks like somebody took the remains of the city, whatever was above the level of the buildings that were literally sheared off at about chest height, and put all that into a blender and hit the button.
Well, the reason you say that, yeah, you've got all this stuff, and you know, and anybody who looked at, you look through the soot, and you're finding charred bits, tiny bits of human bone, melted brick and all this stuff, but it's churned up in a way that when you look at it, you know, there's nothing that we know of apart from what you just described, this meteor, there's nothing that could do this. An earthquake, a volcano, a fire, whatever it is, nothing could produce what you saw. That's why you call it the Cuisinart effect. It just was jumbled together in a way that literally no one had seen. Folks, so we're going to go to a break.
Yes.
Remember, Dr. Stephen Collins has a book. It is called?
It is called Discovering the City of Sodom. That was put out by
Bingo.
Simon & Schuster in 2013.
And folks, it's all in there, Discovering the City of Sodom. Hey, folks, my friend Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. That's you. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers, wow, towels, and so much more. For example, Mike's offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. Enter promo code ERIC. Have I ever mentioned that? ERIC is the promo code, or call 1-800-978-3057. That's 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-3057. Use promo code ERIC. And folks, we joke around a lot, but Albin and I rave about the mattress toppers. I tell everyone I know, check it out. MyPillow.com, use the promo code ERIC. MyPillow.com, use the promo code ERIC. Hey there, folks. I keep bugging you, my listeners, to pre-order my book, Is Atheism Dead? For many reasons, one of which is that in there I have a chapter, and I literally wrote the book in large part because of discovering Dr. Stephen Collins and the news that he has in his book and that we've talked about, that he's discovered biblical Sodom. As far as I'm concerned, the whole world should know. The more facts you know, the more you say it's a slam dunk. When you find out that the journal Nature, which is one of the premier scientific journals in the world, they corroborate all this information. This is astonishing. Everybody should know about it. As I say, I only devote a chapter to it. But we're talking, Dr. Collins, about things that now science has proved. When you first dug this stuff up, you weren't sure. I mean, I think you knew, but you're always skeptical of what are the scientists going to say. I want to go back to the moment you discover this layer of soot. It's 1700 BC. You're digging down and you go, here it is. Here it is. Just as predicted, this level of destruction. Go back to the moment that you and your assistant there found a bit of pottery that you knew, because you're a ceramic typologist, you know this stuff cold. You said that piece of pottery is from 1700 BC. You knew it. What kind of a fragment was it?
It was actually sort of right here, the shoulder neck of a storage jar. And it was pretty easy to identify. We knew we were in the Middle Bronze Age layer because we had already been finding some pottery from that period. And pottery is how we date the layers in archaeology.
Okay, so you get this piece and you look at it, and it doesn't – something is wrong. Tell us, what do you see on this piece of pottery from 1700 BC?
Well, you know, glazing on pottery wasn't invented until about 600 AD.
Okay, 24
so
centuries
get that
after.
Get that in your head.
2,300 yeah. years after 1700 BC was when glazing was invented. So here you find a piece. You know that it's from 1700 BC, and you see glazing. What goes through your head?
So I'm standing 10 feet down in the square, and I'm looking at this piece of pottery, and the surface of it is melted into glass. I'm wondering, what is this? Why is a piece of Islamic pottery, what's a piece of Islamic pottery doing down here?
When you say Islamic, you're joking. Yeah. In other words, you're saying that it looks like
exactly.
It's from 700 AD because it's glazed.
Right.
What's it doing down here at 1700 BC? Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And so I flip it over and I look at it. It's Bronze Age pottery. But how is it melted? This is really strange stuff. So I took it and I tossed it up to some of our team. And one of the guys that caught it was actually an old scientist who had worked on the Manhattan Project at Los Alamos here in New Mexico, and had been was at the Trinity site when they blew up the first atomic bomb in 1945.
Does anybody understand how crazy that is, what you just said? That is one of the craziest things. First of all, the fact that you're from New Mexico, of all places. You are now in northern Iraq. I'm sorry, you're now in
Jordan.
In Jordan, a zillion miles away from New Mexico. But the guy standing right above you, when you find this piece, you throw it up to him. He was there when the A-bombs were exploded in Los Alamos, in New Mexico. I mean, he must be pretty old.
Yeah, he was an old guy. I think he was in his 80s at the time. Anyway, I toss this thing up to him, and the first thing he says, "What? Oh, this looks like Trinitite." I'd never heard that word before. And I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, you know, it's the melted sand underneath the explosion of the first atomic bomb at the Trinity site. They call it Trinitite. It's this greenish glass stuff. This looks just like it." I said, "Well, that's interesting. We need to get that thing analyzed." And that was the first piece of that destruction layer that we found that was anomalous. What? It was so different than anything else we'd ever seen.
Okay, so you take this piece back to New Mexico. You go to a lab. What kind of a lab did you go to? Geologic?
New Mexico Tech, one of the premier doctoral universities in the country as far as science is concerned. And Dr. David Burley, who's a PhD in material science down there, took it and had it analyzed at the USGS laboratories there on the campus at New Mexico Tech. And they, you know, put it through the scanning electron microscope, the Cameco 100 microanalyzer, and did every little detail analysis on it. And we discovered that everything about this was identical to what you see in the Trinitite that was created by the first atomic bomb explosion. In fact, when I handed the piece of pottery, when I actually handed it to the scientist who was going to run the test, she said to me, "Oh, nice piece of Trinitite." And she's an expert in it.
Okay. Do you understand how funny this is? There's a guy, when you dig it out of the hole and you throw it up to the guy, he was there when the first A-bombs were tested in New Mexico. Yeah. You're from New Mexico. Now you go back to New Mexico. You hand it to a woman in the lab, and what did she say? "Nice piece of Trinitite." They all know what they think it is. They go, "Well, we know that in order to do this, you need to have the kind of a temperature that existed when the A-bombs were detonated."
Exactly. And you know what that is? You know what? If you go right to the center of the explosion itself, and this is true of an airburst as well, right there at the point of explosion or disintegration or plasmization, I guess you might call it, of that object, 300,000 degrees centigrade at the point of explosion.
That's about 500,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it's just off the charts. Now, once you get out, of course, farther you go from that, the lesser the temperatures are. But the ground temperatures underneath such an explosion, for example, if our object exploded about a mile high, which we think that's about right, then the ground temperature for just that long was exceeding probably somewhere around 15 to 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that'll create more than a sunburn. It'll melt this. It'll melt the surface of pottery. It'll melt the surface of a mud brick.
This is just, it's too much. It is too much. Folks, are you listening? This is amazing. We have to continue the conversation with you another time, Dr. Collins. But rest assured, I want to keep talking. This is absolutely fascinating. Folks, please pre-order my book, Is Atheism Dead? And tell your friends about this so that they will read Dr. Collins's book, Discovering Biblical Sodom. It's time we got the word out. The Bible is a guide to history. Science is proving it. Dr. Collins, just a privilege to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Ever since our voyage of life began, your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. If you change your mind, take a chance, I'm the first in line, take a chance, honey, I'm still free, take a chance.
Folks, welcome back. Oh my gosh, Albin.
Oh yeah.
I am I want to tell my audience, folks, I am doing so much media for this book, Is Atheism Dead, that I don't know what day it is anymore. It's like hilarious. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
You look a little haggard.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel haggard. I've been doing all these different podcasts and stuff, but I want to say that the response to the book has been fantastic. People who have read it, this is always the acid test. You know, it's not, are people buying it? Are they reading it and loving it? Really, 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 it's been very gratifying to me. So I'm glad that, you know, it's one thing for my friends like you to say they like it, but, so it's been really cool. I want to say, I think I said it earlier, I hope people will please, please, please share about the book on social media, any social media, wherever you are. Please share any YouTube videos, any Rumble videos, Gab, Parler, Getter, Instagram, and of course, Twitter. Facebook is dead to me. Actually, no, Facebook, I did an interview, I think I said, with Charlie Kirk last night, one of the most fun things ever. So that's posted all over. And if you're signed up for my newsletter, we will send you all this stuff and you don't have to go looking for it. But we need your help in launching this book. I'm no longer even slightly shy about saying that, because I know what it takes to launch something that is dramatically pro-God. Already on Amazon, there are nasty atheists leaving one-star reviews.
Yeah.
If you can leave a nice review on Amazon or someplace, or like the reviews that are nice and dislike the reviews that are where the people didn't even read the book.
Yeah.
But I just want to enjoy your help in this.
Even if you have to say, I hate Eric, but I love his new book.
Yeah.
That's a nice review.
That's fine with me.
We'll take it.
I appreciate that. I'm going to be just doing so much and traveling so much, but I really do want to say to folks, first of all, thank you for all your help. Thank you for pre-ordering the book. Thank you for ordering the book. Thank you for sharing stuff. But particularly on places like Twitter and all those places, I do need social media help, because people like Albin, they're not even on Twitter. They can't help me. You, the reader, the audience, the listener, I need your help just to get the word out. This week is crucial. I'll say it again and again and again. And when the week's over, I'll stop saying it, because the week will be over. But this week is really crucial to get the word out. And if you're going to buy any copies of the book, as I say, the 45% off is only available till the end of the month. That's like in a few days. That's what, 10 days. So you have to go to ericmetaxas.com. And when you scroll down on the book page, I believe it's the Baker link. That's the easiest, 45% off. There's a number of them. There are a lot of independent bookstores. We always want to support independent bookstores. So that's it. And Albin, how are we doing with our fundraiser for Religious Liberty?
We're doing really great for Alliance Defending Freedom. We've had a couple very big donations. People finding out if you give $2,000, you not only get a signed copy of Is Atheism Dead by Eric Metaxas, but I throw in my Halloween book from Hamster Homes.
Get out.
Afraid of the Dark. Yeah. So you can get them both, $2,000 donation. It's limited time, just for the next week. That's all it is.
So, and you know what? If anybody gives $10,000,
yes,
I will have dinner with them, with as many people as they want, or as few, wherever. You know, I've done this a lot of times. It's a joy for me to spend the evening with people.
The banner at the top of the page, ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yes, and it's not at ericmetaxas.com. Everything else is at ericmetaxas.com. This stuff is at the radio website, metaxastalk.com. And if you give $14,000, I will shave my beard on the air. God bless you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.